So you're very welcome to episode 3 of Rebel Yell in association with Cork City FC Exiles and League underscore Ireland. And it is obviously the third podcast we've had today, and today we are joined by Jer, as well as usual, Cullum and myself. Plenty to talk about. Before we do, just a quick mention. A lot of people have said it already, but just to add our own personal note, that we're all of us here at Rebel Radio and involved, we're very sad to see the passing of Derry City captain Ryan McBride. Always tragic for such a young man's life to be taken at such a young age, and a guy who was really flying in the season earlier for them. And our thoughts are with Ryan's family and all those involved at Derry City FC. But we will move on, because there have been plenty of tributes given to Ryan over the past week, one of which we saw at Turner's Cross last Saturday, where City, once again, sixth time out of seven, have beaten Dundalk. Cullum, how important was that victory in terms of the league title, or is it too early?
Yeah, it's too early to tell. You know, it's only six games in. Like, I'd be surprised if it bears any consequence, really, on so far. But like, it's nice to have the upper hand at this stage, but I doubt you're not going to be talking about the game in March, come October. Like,
but you're, 6 points now ahead of Dundalk, as you say. Finally, it's them now that's under pressure. Usually it's Cork City, the ones that are trying to battle to stay in the title race. And finally, it's the Lilywhites now are a bit under a bit of pressure, 6 points behind.
Yeah, they have to come back, and something they're not used to over the last couple of seasons, because, as you said, like, they usually lead the way. It's really early, though. Like, we're still in March. There's a long time to go, and as Cullum said, like, I doubt we're going to be talking about this at the end of the season. It's great to be 6 points ahead, but the main problem you're going to have with Cork is, can they keep up the momentum, and can they win the games that last season they were dropping? Not necessarily stupid points, but points they really shouldn't have been dropping.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and obviously Limerick next week is one of those games. It's kind of a bogey team for City and Cullum. It will be no easy assignment. We'll get into it later, but those type of games are the ones that City need to win.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about that, you have to remember Sligo last year, where we only picked up 2 points off them last season, and already at this stage we have 3 points off them. So, you know, we're 1 point better off regardless of what happens.
Yeah, and you talk about that City gaining 3 points already about Sligo, and you're like, those games against Wexford and Sligo last season were the kind of games where we didn't drop points this season. You look at this, Sligo was a goal down with a half an hour to go, came out back and dug out a 2-1 victory. Shamrock Rovers, where we were under the cosh, were out of the game, 2-1 victory. And again, on Saturday, where, you know, we were put under a lot of pressure by Dundalk in the last few minutes, but managed to hold on to the 3 points again.
Yeah, there is a bit of a different mentality with City this season. You can see that in the early stages. A lot of that could come from confidence, actually, winning the Cup, because they always say you need to win something, and they finally won something in winning the FAI Cup. So maybe this season they will have the confidence to actually go and win games the last season they were dropping points in. Just to take up on the point about Limerick, where City could be in trouble on Friday night, is City are now on the top of the table. They look at teams like Derry and Dundalk as their big games. To Limerick, there's actually no bigger game this season than the 3 games against Cork City. So they will be well up for this on Friday night.
Yeah, indeed. We'll move on to that game in more detail later. But just to stick on the Dundalk game for the moment, we've talked about Maguire as the goal scorer. First time he hasn't scored all season, but Cullum still showed more now more than ever, how influential he is to Cork City's attack.
Yeah, I mean that run to set up the first goal was something that, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who we brought to a City game for the first time in years, and he said that it was one of the best bits of football he's ever seen live. And the second goal was also a great weighted pass. Looked maybe a bit too long, but Shepherd did very well to get onto it. I think he could be the new Daryl Horgan this year, where everyone's talking about Sean Maguire. So I just hope that doesn't maybe go to his head a little bit. Hopefully he keeps his feet in the ground and he can keep banging out performances like that all season.
Yeah, I honestly think Sean Maguire's the best player I've seen down Turner's Cross since Kevin Doyle. I really do. He has everything you really want in a footballer. He can pass the ball, he can run with the ball, he can control the ball, and his finishing is second to none. I really think they're going to be struggling to hold on to him, even this season. Because a lot of people were to be thinking, you stayed the whole year with League of Ireland, with the interest that would come on to him because of the publicity he will get, you could really see championship teams coming in for him in the summer.
And a lot of talking up by his own manager, John Caulfield, who said an awful lot of things that, you know, he won't hold on to him for long. And but you think now that Maguire has made the decision to stay with Cork City, he might potentially see it out until the end of the season if we were in a position to win the league title.
Yeah, and as well, if he goes to the championship, he's not going to have an opportunity to play in Europe. Like, I think that's going to be a big factor in keeping him here, is playing in Europe. And of course, you know, if he's playing week in, week out, why wouldn't he want to stay here and scoring goals week in, week out?
See, yeah, the danger you're falling into there is that we could be out of Europe by the end of July, where the championship starts in the middle of August. If he's really just staying here for European football, if we're all that by July and then the championship team comes in and says, here's X amount of money and we guarantee you opportunities, he could leave, and you don't want to be losing players at that crucial time of the season.
But Maguire's already been to England, and he's already been burnt a little bit. He went over to West Ham, he got very, very close to the first team, and then was kind of unceremoniously booted out of there, and then floated around a couple of teams before he somewhat settled at Accrington Stanley. But even then, he was actually offered a full-time contract there. And decided to hold off because he was looking for a better deal somewhere else. Would you not think for a guy like that he'd be more conscious in trying to win some honours and try and get another solid season under his belt before jumping over to England again and trying it a second time?
I don't think anyone can answer that but Sean Maguire, because we could sit down here and speculate, and people can speculate. I personally, if I was in his position, I would love to be in his position, but if I was, I would want to win trophies. And if you go to England, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up in a struggling team in the championship, because the championship, for me, is the hardest league in England. It's so hard to, because every year there's a team that's supposed to do well that ends up in a relegation battle, or a team that was supposed to be in the relegation battle ends up literally getting promoted. So it's a very difficult league. I think he should stay, because I think he could become top goal scorer. He could get all the plaudits Darrell Horgan did, maybe even get an Irish call-up, and then you're going over with fierce momentum to England. You're going over as, I won the league, I was the top goal scorer, I got player of the year in my country, and then you can demand the respect. If he goes over now, yes, he's scoring well, but you still don't have the accolades that someone like Darrell Horgan or even Richie Towle had going over. And you even see Richie Towle, as great as a player he was in the league, how much he's struggling over in the championship.
Absolutely. But bringing it back to the game last Saturday, looking at some of the other players that have performed, obviously Shepherd got the two goals, but also his general play impressed me very much. I don't know about you guys, but who else on the City team particularly stood out for you last Saturday?
Gerard Morrissey. I thought he played very well on Saturday. Really kind of held it down, as well as Conor McCormick. We were all kind of worried about Greg Bulger. I've said a lot about him on the radio, as you know, as you've called me out on many times.
But you seem to think that Greg is overrated. That's your...
No, it's not that I think he's overrated. I don't think he's a big game player. Whereas we saw him in the game against Genk at Turners Cross, where he went missing. We saw him in the game against Dundalk at Oriel Park when we lost 2-1, where he went missing. I just don't think he's a big game player. But without a doubt, he was a miss on Saturday. He would have been starting on Saturday. And I think Conor McCormick filled in that position very well, considering he hadn't played centre mid for City all season, filling in at right back.
The thing that took me about Conor was, I thought he played very poor against Rovers. I thought he was the worst player we had on the pitch. And for him to turn that around in 8 days and put on, arguably he should have been in man of the match conversation, it takes a lot of strength, and I was very impressed with him on Saturday.
But also, you talk about filling in, Jimmy Keohane filling in at right back had a fantastic game.
He did, to be fair. I don't think he had that much to do though, to be honest. They didn't really attack down that right hand side, even though it was quite a bit of a weakness. But what he had to do, he did well, to be fair to him.
And speaking of from the other side, we saw obviously in the President's Cup a very, very weak Dundalk defensive line, who's really struggled to cope with Cork City. But I mean, they weren't exactly brilliant the other night either. Sean Gannon went absolutely AWOL for that first goal, and there seemed to be a real lack of communication between the defenders and Gary Rogers for the second one. You know, there are obviously serious problems defensively for the Lilywhites.
I think what we're actually seeing here is how good Andy Boyle was for them last season, where people were focused a lot on Daryl Horgan, and rightfully so, he had a fantastic season. Andy Boyle had that back clicking. And when you take someone like that out, I don't care how good you are as a team, someone to control your back line
unreplaceable.
It's unreplaceable. It is very hard to actually have a back that can command the whole back area and have it running well. You look at Dundalk, they don't have a good goalkeeper. And I don't mean to take shots at them or be bad, because I know both goalkeepers have gone under a lot of scrutiny, but they are not good goalkeepers. But their backline got them out time and time again. It was like the game in Oriel Park with Cork City at the end of last season. The goalkeeper was defending because the backline was so strong. You look back at that game, Cork City didn't really have a great chance after Marco Sullivan.
Especially, you kind of touched on that. The real weakness that people are exposing, Cullum, is Dundalk's goalkeeping situation with Gary Rogers and Gabriel Zava. Which one do you play and which one do you...
Yeah, that's the thing. I was listening to Stephen Alkin, actually, and I was just watching the game back. And what Stephen Alkin said was he wasn't the same goalkeeper that we saw in 2016. Now, arguably, I think he is. He's still the same goalkeeper. He wasn't great last season. He's not great this season. Okay, maybe he was okay in 2015, but...
I mean, he did suffer that. Obviously, he went for surgery just after the end of last season. And then this season, picked up another injury in a pre-season game. So he hasn't really had a lot of football. And as I said to you, Colin, Jerry, you might want to weigh in on this. Like, for a goalkeeper, when you come into a side... I know, obviously, he played against St. Pat's, but he didn't have an enormous amount to do against what is a very, very poor Pat's side. And he comes in now to a big game against a team that are scoring goals for fun, and he hasn't played with the backline, because he's used to playing with Boyle, and he's used to playing with... I mean Gartland did start last Saturday, but he's used to that solid back four, and now hasn't played in a long time. His confidence is obviously needs to be regenerated again, and there's a lack of communication there.
Yeah, and I don't think, in my opinion, you could see he was a man who was a bit sluggish. Like, he hadn't played a lot of pre-season, as you said. He got injured in a Leinster Senior Cup game, I think, which is probably, if that's your first choice keeper, honestly, I don't think you should be playing him in a Leinster Senior Cup game against the Leinster Senior League side.
Especially when he's that age and that kind of prone to injuries in the last two seasons.
Exactly. I just think it was a bit silly. Again, looking at Gabriel Savra on the bench, I think maybe they'll have to improve when the summer window opens.
It's definitely a point of note for Dundalk in the summer window.
Can I just make one point that no one seems to be bringing up? Everyone's bringing on about Boyle and Horgan being missed from that Dundalk team. Big losses, yes. But I think Ronan Finn is just as big as a loss, because there's no one to really control that midfield. I was watching the game they played against Shamrock Rovers at the start of the year, and again watching them down the cross on Saturday. They have a big hole in that centre midfield, and I think they never really replace someone like Finn.
But you talk about, it's funny that you talk about that game, because Dundalk obviously won that game in the end, and City obviously won in the Tallaght Stadium. Rovers aren't exactly doing that well themselves, so...
Rovers are an S team that ends with it. They are that bad. When we played them last week, all they could do was try to kick us. And if you go back to that Dundalk game, that's what they tried to do there. Rovers built themselves up. I don't care what team you are, what league you're in, or what kind of football, you cannot gut your team. Rovers gut their team, and they brought in way too much replacements.
I think it was a bit of an audacious statement as well from Stephen Bradley at the start of the season to say that he was going to be competing for league honours. Like, not even Pep Guardiola, when he took over Man City, said he was going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll get on to Rovers in a second. I just want to stick with the game on Saturday. And talk about one Rogers. We're going to flick to another Rogers, Rob Rogers, man in the middle. Penalty or no penalty, lads? Can I put your...
For which one?
For obviously the tackle from on Kieran Kilduff in the first half. I mean, bear in mind it was 1-0 at that stage.
It was a penalty, but when you even look in the RT coverage today, they look at it three or four times. You can't really blame the referee for that instance. You just can't. You can't catch everything.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of happened too fast for Rob Rogers to see it. Like, I think maybe, having looked at it again, I think maybe that Kilduff let his leg out to be tripped. So.
Yeah, I mean, it looked from, I haven't seen it back at all. I looked in real time that it could have been given. But you look at Stephen Kenny's interviews after the game, he's blamed the pitch. He's now blaming the referee.
Actually, just before we move on from this penalty point of view, we were down at the other end of the pitch, and there was another stonewall penalty for Dundalk in the second half.
Yeah, they should have had a penalty in the last 5 minutes. When the ball came in from one of their frees, I think it was Dooley. I don't want to say it definitely was, but there was someone flicked the ball away with his hand.
Yeah, I've heard that, all right. From what I heard, it was O'Connor as well. It was another name floated around, but I'm not sure which one it was. But Kenny was saying afterwards that there was a you know, they had a goal disallowed as well, and there was the sending off, which I don't really know if you could argue with either of those instances. I mean, the disallowed goal was clearly shove in the back on McNulty, and I don't think anybody can be blamed except Kilduff himself for going in so rashly, having already been booked.
Kilduff looked a bit fiery though on Saturday. He's going in for challenges that maybe he shouldn't have been. I mean, that Conor McCormack one, he was going absolutely nowhere when he was getting sent off. I don't understand what his thinking was there. I just think he was just a little bit too fired up, maybe coming back to play against his old club. Just don't think he was too wound up, I think.
I'll be honest, after everything Dundalk achieved in the last 2 years, as Cork City fans are hurted a small bit, but they have achieved a lot. If Stephen Kenny's going to turn into a bit of a moaner after every time they lose, it would be a bad thing to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I can understand from his perspective to be disappointed after a loss, but when you start blaming things like the pitch, when it was clearly watered, and you play yourself on a plastic pitch that teams find extremely difficult to play on, and bear in mind, that rules a lot of the teams. Like, I remember Colin Healy couldn't play in a couple of our games up in Oriel because they're so injury prone to playing on that surface. I don't really think you have the right to turn around and start lecturing other clubs on how they look at that. And I mean, yes, the Curtis Cross pitch did cut up a little bit, but it certainly didn't look like it wasn't watered. It had been watered before the game, and it didn't play badly. It was just that Dundalk couldn't put passes together.
I'm sorry, not to be bad, but this is the League of Ireland. We don't have world-class pitches. We just don't. Like, every pitch you're going to go to is going to be like that. If Kenny really wants to see a bad pitch, he should go down to, say, Coleman's Park. There's more dirt than grass on that thing.
So we move on to the rest of the league, and we were briefly touching on it there, but Pats, who couldn't seem to buy a win, were 1-0 down to Shamrock Rovers. Stephen Bradley's title contender, Shamrock Rovers, and two late goals, earning them a 2-1 win. Now, Bradley said afterwards that he felt that Rovers were being punished for their development of youth players, given the fact that they had a couple of Irish under-19 players that, you know, were selected and weren't available, but they didn't count. But, like, really, I mean, that's really straws.
I mean, if you're a senior team and you're relying on players who are being called up to the Irish under-19 team, I think you really need to look at your side and go, okay, maybe this isn't great.
But it's funny that a guy who's been talking them up as title contenders before the season is now cribbing about how their under-19s players don't. It's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah,
but Pat Fennin kind of set this template with Rovers last season with all the constant excuses he was coming out with, and I think Bradley's just following suit. At the end of the day, I said it before and I'm going to stand by this, you cannot gut your team. And that's what Shamrock Rovers did. They gutted their team. They thought they could just bring people in and they would all gel together. You would know this a lot better than me. What's happening down Turner's Cross has not been an overnight team. John Coffey didn't walk in and buy every player they have now. They built the team gradually, and Rovers don't seem to realise that that's what you need to do. Every year is the same thing with Rovers. They gut their team, they bring people in, they expect success. It never happens. They never want to build from the ground.
Yeah, I was just going to say as well that Stephen Bradley on Patrick's Day said the Cork weren't a good team, I believe it was what he said.
Yeah.
And last Saturday, Cork go and beat Dundalk in, obviously, the top two teams in the country, beat the top team in the country last year. And they lose to the team that was last before.
Before the other day, absolutely. And still, you know, that was their only win thus far. And you say that, like, I mean, we're now 6 points top of the table. We're our Rovers. We're now 12 points ahead of them after only 6 games. So we've made 2 points on them every single game, and we're supposed to be the team that aren't good. I mean, it strikes me that Bradley is still continuing to do post-match interviews as if he's a player, because players get away with saying more things off the cuff than managers do. He's just not thinking about what he's saying as much as a manager would, and he's being picked up, and there is deservedly so being picked up as a manager, and he's just making, you know, he's digging a grave for himself, isn't he?
He's just a young man, and no man's job is what he is.
Can we just be honest about it? We saw the game on Paddy's Day, me and Cullum. They're a bad team. They really are. Like, we're not really making excuses here, but people are trying to find things. Rovers is just a bad team. If it was any other club in this position, it's the name Shamrock Rovers that are saving them a bit, but they're a bad team. When we played them on Paddy's Day, they had one thing to do with Cork City, and that was kick them. They kicked every City player off the ball. How City didn't end up with more injuries is amazing to me.
I don't know, but they managed to somewhat escape anyway, even though Bolger was obviously was ruled out of in beat. He seemed to come in for a bit of treatment as well. Moving on, we have the team we face next Friday in Marketsfield. My apologies. Yeah, I know. Limerick, they beat Bray 1-0 last week. That was their second win of the league campaign. Anything to worry about ahead of next week? Obviously, we have the Ogbene Tossi, you know, combination.
I think the win Saturday is something that might play in the City players' minds that go, "Hey, we beat Dundalk, we can beat anyone," and maybe not be a little bit more focused on this game. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm really worried about Friday. Dundalk last Saturday, now Limerick, and then following that, Derry. If you're a Cork City player, you're thinking Dundalk and Derry are the two tough games there. Probably rightfully so. But if you're a Limerick player, this is your game. You're playing your closest rivals. Cork City and them are really the only two Munster teams that are of any significance. They're going to be well up for this. And I feel that Limerick will be more up than City, and that could actually cost City a lot.
Well, I suppose we've had that situation before. We've had a small game in between two big games, and generally we tend to get results out of them. I mean, we've had times in the past where we've had league games in between European games, or we've had kind of, you know, we've had a run of two difficult teams, and we've had, I think we had Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk in and somebody in the middle before, and we managed to always carve out a result from those.
Looking at the European games last year between Linfield and BK Hacking, we drew at Wexford Utes.
See, it's just going to be like, will City be us up for Limerick? Because Limerick will be up for this. It's a big game for them. For City, and this is no disrespect to Limerick, it's not a big game for Cork City. The Dundalks, the Rovers, the Derrys, they're the big games for Cork City, not Limerick. Limerick are just a team down the road to Cork.
And you say Limerick are up for it, as evidenced by their match night poster last week. Limerick's Munster's number one, yeah.
Yeah, even if Limerick be Cork City, can you really consider Limerick to be the number one team in Munster?
I mean, I suppose they're claiming onto the fact that they won the Munster Senior Cup last year, did they? 2015, sorry. So they're the last team to win the Munster Senior Cup, and technically they won their division last year, so they were number one in the first division, but it's a bit cringe, isn't it, really?
Yeah, considering that, you know, as you just said, they consider themselves, because they won their league last season, but any league with that Cavan Teeley team last season and that Athlone team last season cannot be boasting about winning a league.
But it will be a tough assignment nonetheless for the Rebel Army, who will most certainly be missing Greg Balder and potentially Johnny Dunleavy as well. We're still not sure about Stephen Beattie's status either.
Stephen Beattie, he has, according to himself, a little bit of calf.
Okay.
So,
is that a good thing, or like a little bit of a calf problem, or does he just have a tiny little bit of calf left? Because in which case, I'd
buy
more.
Or did he just buy a small calf and then worry
about it? Look, boys.
Here's my calf. Spree it into the changing room every morning.
The leper better be careful, he could lose his spot as the sponsor for Fox City.
But yeah, potentially another of those three. Big, I suppose they were all missing for the game last Saturday, and we seemed to get on okay, but still, big losses nonetheless.
I think it just shows the strength and depth that we have this year. that, you know, we can be missing three quality players like that. Okay, Jimmy Cann was a centre mid playing right back. But I just think that with the calibre of player that John Caulfield has brought in this year, I don't think that that's as much of a worry as it was last year.
Sure.
I really think that City have a very in-depth squad. If this goes on a bit longer, then maybe I will start to affect them, because I think Stephen Beattie is arguably the second best player we have. So like, he will be a big loss. But if it's just for the Limerick game, then I can't really see a problem. But if you're going into the Derry game, then you could be looking at problems there, because Derry will look at that Dundalk game, and like, we're just fans watching it. We saw the City had a bit of problems. Derry would see that as well, and Derry would try to capitalise on that.
I was going to say, for our first time in Marketsville, but Cullum has reliably informed me that we've already played there and won 5-2. So the original question was supposed to be that how will City cope in Marketsfield, but apparently we seem to cope pretty well.
Apparently so. That was just that was just pre-season. You know, it's not as competitive as a league game, like, so I think they'd be more up for it than they were probably last time.
You're only 600 City fans permitted to travel, or will certainly have away tickets anyway. We'll see how many will travel.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one, because Limerick's only really big game up to this point was away in Oriel Park, and they only lost 1-0. And like, as City fans, we know how hard it is to go to Oriel Park. And like, to only lose 1-0, it's not a bad result to come out with at all. So Limerick will put themselves up for it. Hopefully City will. And it should be a good game, because like, it is a Munster derby. We don't have much of these anymore. So maybe it's something that City will have the 600 tickets sold. There'll be a bit of atmosphere, and maybe the Cork lads will get behind. And if City come out and play, City will beat them.
So after all that, gents, predictions for Friday's game against Limerick?
I'd take a draw, to be honest. Maybe 1-1 draw.
Okay, sure.
I'd be happy with a draw as well, because of everything I explained earlier on the show. But if by football in terms, City should have this. So I'm going to go 2-1 City. Maybe Limerick score in the first half and City wake a bit up in the second half. That's how I kind of see the game going.
Okay, well, I was correct at my 2-1 prediction on Saturday.
You were?
And I'm going to be slightly more adventurous than you two and say the City are going to win 3-1 on Friday. I think this game offers a real opportunity for City to stamp on the neck of Dundalk, so to speak, you know, to show like, we now have 6-point lead and we're going to hang on to it. And I think it would be a massive, you talk about the, obviously it's kind of a smaller game in between two bigger games, right? I think it's this psychologically to keep maintaining that lead as much as they can is going to be a massive motivating factor for City. They're 6 points ahead. They've played Shamrock Rovers away and they're played Dundalk at home. If they can get over Limerick, they have Derry at home. Who knows, between Derry and Dundalk may drop points, probably won't, but may drop points this weekend. And you're looking at being in a really, really strong position after the Derry game, having played all of the major teams, facing then Bowes and St. Pat's away from home.
That's a big problem for me, for Cork City, is that they have Limerick now this Friday. Once that's out of the way, they have three very tough games.
I don't think Pat's away is a tough game. And I don't think Bowes away is a tough game.
Did you think that last season as well? Where Pats beat them 2-1 up there.
I know, but that was more at the end of the season when City's title hopes were already gone. I mean, that Pats game was so odd last season because it was the one time they'd actually played decently. Now, I know that could happen, but like, City had lost to Dundalk and they were really scraping the bottom of the barrel. And I wonder, like, we lost obviously 2 weeks later to Bray, and I wonder, was there real motivation there given the fact that we'd already gone up there and beaten them in the FAI Cup semi final? That FAI Cup semi final was the true test of those teams in Richmond Park, and City went up there and absolutely hammered them. And there was unquestionably, I know they scored in the first half to make it 1-1, but second half we dominated them. Yeah. And I think I think Bowes is an extremely winnable game, even though I know we haven't had the greatest time up in Daly Mount over the last couple of years. I think it's an extremely winnable game. And I think I think the City players will be gunning for Friday to get a good solid win and to show Dundalk that we're not willing to give up this lead easily.
Yeah, it's looking very good for City. Like, I personally think if they can win against Limerick, win against Derry, and then get 4 points out of the two Dublin games, the next games then you're looking at are Bray down the cross and Finn Harps down the cross. Logically, that should be 6 points. This is what Cork City need to do. They need to start doing what Dundalk did last season. Take every game as blocks and make sure you get a lot of points out of them blocks.
So if you're one of the unfortunate ones not to be able to make it up to Markets Field, you can listen in live. We are live at Rebel Radio on Friday night. Kickoff is at 7:45, but we will be live as ever 15 minutes before, and it'll be a solo run for me at Markets Field. So tune in at 7:30. We'll be live from Markets Field for City's latest game to see if they can make it 7 wins out of 7 in the Airtricity Premier Division. Now, lads, moving on to some of the other games of the weekend. It's a bit of a derby weekend, because we have Dundalk and Drogs, we have the Dublin derby between Bows and Pats, we have Galway versus Sligo, the Northwest derby. So we'll go to the first, our, I suppose, third in the table now, Dundalk. I think it's probably the first time they've been out of the top two in a long time. But Dundalk, they're playing Drogheda. Expect a backlash?
Yeah, expect. Look, Drogheda are great shakes, as we know. I expect a Dundalk win, a fairly big one at that.
I think it'll be a draw. I think that Dundalk, just going by what Kenny said after the game, they seem to be a team looking for an excuse, and we're, yet again, you could fall into the same thing Cork City will, to draw that this is actually a big game, it's a low derby. They could see this, like if you're drawing that for the last couple of years and you're seeing Dundalk up the road having all this success, getting all these plaudits, it's live on RT. This is actually a chance for you to have a right go at Dundalk, so I'm going to put my neck out and say it's going to be a draw.
Well, there was a fairly similar thing in 2015, I believe, if you remember. When Drogheda went to play in Oriel Park against Dundalk, obviously it was the same thing as you just said, and they lost 6-0.
There you go. History doesn't smile kindly.
Dundalk are a very different team than what they were in 2015.
It's true.
Very different. No Boy, no Finn, no Tom Horgan.
So moving on, and we have the next meeting of Bows versus Pats. Now, you take, maybe as speaking in 2015 or 2014, you'd say, comfortable away win, no problem, Bows are struggling. But Bows are now fourth in the table, 10 points out of 6, and Pats, as we say, obviously that Shamrock Rovers result has buoyed them massively, but still have had a fairly atrocious beginning to the season.
Yeah, Bows have done well to flip reverse at the start of the season. It looked fairly bad for them, but you know, fourth on the table now. I do think it's going to be a draw, though.
A draw, Colin says, between Bows and Pats. Sure.
I have my own opinion to what's going on in St. Pat's. I'm not really going to say I'm here because their own personal beliefs, but I think that team, they got a good result against Rovers, but I really think that team is struggling. So I think Bows are going to win that easy enough, because Bows could actually see this as a chance to actually start moving up. They're fourth, they're just 2 points behind Dundalk and Derry. And maybe one day might slip up, and then all of a sudden, Bows are in the European places.
Absolutely. For a long time since we can say that Bows have been in European places. Mm-hmm. But one team, as you say, second place at the moment, looking like the biggest challengers in terms of certainly breaking that mould of Cork City and Dundalk is Derry. They are at home to Bray Wanderers. Obviously, going to be an extremely difficult occasion for all of those, not just because of the death of Ryan McBride, but also that of Martin McGuinness, who was a very influential figure in that city. How do you see them responding to that? And do you think, how do you think the from a footballing perspective, how the loss of their captain is going to affect them?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be huge loss. It doesn't matter if he transfers to wherever, if he, you know, as what happened. It's still going to be a massive loss. Whoever fills that void is going to have a very, very difficult job of doing so. But I just can't see anything other than a Derry win this one.
Sure.
Yeah, I think with the night it's going to be in, it's going to be very emotional up there. In long term, this is going to be a different story. But short term, I think that Derry will beat Bray handily enough. But long term, we're just going to talk football. As I was saying earlier, you look at the Andy Boy void. That's going to be very hard for Derry to fill.
A very difficult situation up there, of course, and especially with the whole Buncrana thing. They looked like they were on a bit of a run, you know. They had beaten Dundalk, and a real kind of difficult for Derry now to take it. But I suppose they'll be looking at it, certainly Kenny Shields will be looking at it, as we're still in an excellent position as a side, and we're the only other unbeaten team in the league. So we're the only other team, sorry, should I say, with a 100% record. So
Why shouldn't we be able to go out and make a fist of it? Two teams down the bottom, Galway against Sligo, this one in Terryland Park. Galway yet with a win on the board. Sligo beat Pats earlier on this season. 2 points between them. Very difficult one, this, for both Dave Robertson and Shane Keegan.
You can make the case that this is actually the biggest game of the weekend. Because for two of these, like every other game you're looking at, teams can afford to win and afford to lose. If anyone beats the other team here, like if Sligo win this game, that's a big gap for Galway to try to make up, especially when you have three teams going down this year. And everyone around that area is going to have to pick points up from each other. So it's a big game, I think, for both of them. And as I said earlier, you can make the case that it's actually the biggest game of the weekend. I think Galway will win, and the only fact I'm going with that is that they're the home team.
Colm, any more?
Yeah, just kind of agree with what Charles said. I think maybe Galway have, looking, just picturing the size really, I think that Sligo have a bit more quality than Galway do, so I just see maybe Galway nicking it.
Well, I would agree with you in thinking that Sligo have more quality, and I think they have enough quality to come out of this game with a win. Shane Keegan's side look a bit all over the place defensively. We saw that against Cork City, and they seem to really struggle. I was looking through their goalkeeping options, and they seem to have a different goalkeeper playing and on the bench every week. It seems to be cycling through about four or five different goalkeepers at the moment. So obviously Keegan hasn't really found his groove up there yet. Sligo came down to Turner's Cross and kicked everything around him, and almost came away with a win. And they have some dangerous players, particularly you look at Kieran Sadler, who scored a stunning free kick last week, and two free kicks, I think, actually, but particularly the second one was particularly stunning.
They have Toby Adebayo Rowling, who was linked with many, moved to England during the winter months.
Yeah, so they have a couple of quality players. I don't really see what Galway have in response, and I think Sligo are going to come away with that, and I think Galway are really going to be really struggling this year. Last but not least is Finn Harps against Rovers. Now, we were talking about Bulls and Pats earlier. Finn Harps, sixth, 2 points ahead of Shamrock Rovers with five games played. How many people would have seen that one coming?
Yeah, and do you know what? I think they're going to get a draw out of Talla. But it would be a bit surprising, right? But I think Finn Harps, they're playing well. They played reasonably well against us, considering the conditions and the night that it was. And, you know, I just think that they could nick it on a better pitch than what was up there enough the last weekend of February.
Sure.
I didn't see the first game of the year between Cork City and Finn Harps, like yourself, so I can't really judge Finn Harps on that performance. I'm very surprised how bad Shamrock Rovers are. Like, this is not coming from a hatred thing that I'm a Cork City fan, I hate Shamrock Rovers. They are absolutely awful. I have not been impressed one bit by them. So, I'm not even going to make a prediction here, but if Finn Harps beat Shamrock Rovers, it's not going to be the biggest shock in the world.
Well, I think we can leave it there. Gentlemen, after all of that, and I suppose Colm, Ger, I don't know if you're going to Marketsfield on Friday.
Yeah, I'll be up there. Right.
Well, Ger will be up there, and I'll be up there, and Rebel Radio will be up there. We will be live from Marketsfield at 7:30 on Friday. Stick to our social media channels. That's at RR Presenters on Twitter and facebook.com/Rebel Radio CCFC, or you can just search us at Rebel Radio. But until then, from us here, Ger, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, everybody.
Colm.
Goodbye.
And for me, it's goodbye. See you next time.